Welcome to the 109th episode of Admission Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you get to that delightful instant when you can jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in." Now, before turning to today's guest, who is just a fascinating, incredibly accomplished fourth-year medical student, I would like to remind you that I answer your questions on the show. If you have an admissions-related question that you would like me to address, just go to the show notes at info.exhibit.com/109 and post your question as a comment. You can also send me questions via email to questions@exhibit.com. If your question is chosen, I'll ask and answer it on the show. I'm pleased to say that we are developing a supportive, collaborative, and thoughtful community on Accepted, so feel free to comment. Now to our guest. Ajay Major grew up in Indiana and immediately upon graduating high school joined the Leadership in Medicine program, an 8-year BS, MBA, MD program at Union College and Albany Medical College. He completed his bachelor's with an interdisciplinary degree in chemistry and Spanish-Hispanic studies in 2012, graduating summa cum laude. He completed his MBA in 2013 with a focus on healthcare management and is just 1 year away from completing his MD. On the way, he has also managed to find time and energy to get involved in many different projects and initiatives. For example, he founded and is currently the editor-in-chief of In Training, the online magazine by medical students and for medical students. He is medical student ambassador for MedStro, an online social community of physicians and medical students. And he is chair of the Student Advisory Board of Dr. Smarts, an online incentivized learning platform for pre-medical and medical students. There's a lot more I could mention, but I think it's time to hear from Ajay. Ajay, welcome to Admission Straight Talk.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's my pleasure. I'm so glad you could join me. Are you happy you went straight through with the BS, MBA, MBA, MD? I mean, can you put any more letters after your name? Are you happy you did that looking back?
Absolutely. It provided an opportunity to study a lot of different topics all related to medicine in kind of a fast track type, you know, type of program.
I saw, I think, somewhere online that you kind of wish that somewhere the program had or at least allowed for a gap year. A year, I guess, to do something.
That's a good point. The gap year is interesting because for many individuals, it's a great opportunity to kind of explore outside of medicine or maybe something outside of a comfort zone before they kind of lunge into medical education. But, you know, actually for me, the 8-year program all the way through, actually because of kind of the way that Union College was structured and because of kind of the flexibility I have at Albany Med, I've actually had the opportunity to do a lot of work, you know, that you mentioned in training and Dr. Smarts and MedStro, you know, that are kind of related to medicine, but definitely get me outside of my comfort zone. So plus or minus, but, you know, I've had a great experience thus far.
Okay. I actually vaguely remember that there was a fellow in my high school, one of the valedictorians of my graduating class, and I think he went straight for, a 6-year or an 8-year, I think it was a 6-year, straight through bachelor's MD program. This was a long time ago. But it was, and he was just very committed. He happened not to be the most patient of individuals, and he just wanted to go for it. Okay, so anyway, that's an option out there, and you say you feel you've had a good experience, and you're pleased with your decision, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Now, I know a lot of medical students are very concerned about rankings and, you know, the name of the school and the prestige of the school. I think the individual program that you're in is very prestigious, but with all due respect, Albany Medical College is not the Mayo Clinic, UCSF, WashU, you know, Harvard, or any of those. Does that concern you?
You know, that's a great point, and absolutely you hear from a lot of, medical students saying, oh, you know, I want to go to these prestigious institutions. But what's really important is if you have to find an institution that really has the personality that works best with you. So When I looked at Albany Medical College, you know, one of the things that actually the vice dean at Albany Medical College calls the school kind of a ma and pa type of organization, meaning that, you know, it's run by a close-knit group of administrators and faculty you know, it's definitely a smaller size and it's not affiliated with a large university like, you know, many of the institutions that you mentioned are like.
Right.
And what's great about that for me is that it allows me kind of that one-on-one connection with some of my mentors. And that's something that, quite frankly, you don't get at a lot of other medical schools. You know, I have colleagues that go to some of the big university schools and they have never spoken to their vice dean. They don't even know where their vice dean's office is, you know.
Sure.
That kind of is what, and that's similar to my experience that I had at Union College, which again was a smaller institution, kind of a close-knit community, and that's what works best for me, and that's the environment in which I thrive in. So what's great about it, too, is that those institutions that I chose, Union College and Albany Medical College, you know, allow for a lot of flexibility, and there's an immense amount of support for kind of the atypical things that I do in medicine. You know, I'm, you know, encouraged to go out and start my own publication for medical students and go to conferences and report on it and, you know, do my work in advocacy. You know, that's something that at some of the large institutions that maybe kind of have a little bit more strictness in their curriculum wouldn't necessarily allow you to do, and you may not have that freedom to kind of explore and build a career, a little niche for yourself in medicine.
Okay, we're going to get to those other things in just a minute. I'm not going to ignore them, don't worry. But just to stay with the more conventional parts of your experience right now, what did you like best and least about medical school?
That's a great question. What I like best about it is the opportunity to become a lifelong learner, and I know that sounds cliche, but truthfully, medicine is evolving so fast, and there's always an opportunity to learn something new and, you know, always be improving your clinical practice. That being said, the kind of now in the widespread use of standardized exams in medical education is really, quite frankly, the worst part about medical education. I mean, I'm actually right now studying for my Step 2 exam, and I just a year ago studied for my Step 1 exam, and then in 2 years from now I'll be studying for Step 3, and then there's board. It's just the standardization is very challenging because a lot of it isn't clinically relevant. It's purely studying to take a test. And, you know, I can look forward to that every 10 years of my recertification boards once I become a physician. So that's definitely the worst part.
Okay. And I assume you've been doing rotations if you're, you know, you're going into your fourth year. Which rotations have you particularly enjoyed?
I really loved my rotation in internal medicine. We at Albany Med have 3 months of internal medicine, 2 months which are inpatient and 1 month which are outpatient. It's the career that I've chosen for myself. And
okay.
What I like most about it is the opportunity to think, the opportunity to work in a team, the opportunity to consult with other experts in the field and in various specialties. And ultimately, you know, you being responsible for your patient and kind of taking all those recommendations together and making a cohesive plan. It's that kind of management around the patient, which I really enjoy in medicine.
Okay. So you obviously know what residency program also that you're going to be, what residency specialty you're going to be applying to. I assume you're pursuing internal medicine. Okay. What are your favorite tips for pre-meds? Not people who went straight through. People who, you know, they did their 4 years of college or they're doing their 4 years of college. They're planning to apply to medical school this summer. They have the whole medical school process in front of them. What advice? And you didn't have to apply, I realize, but what do you have any insight for them?
Yeah, you know, what I always tell speak a lot of pre-meds on tours when they come to Albany Med, and, you know, one of the things I always recommend that they do is they really need to try something outside of their comfort zone during their years in college. I mean, college, obviously, for traditional pre-medical students can be a very stressful time with the MCAT and with, you know, shadowing and preparing for the application process, but really, I always encourage pre-meds to do something during their college years that's completely out of their comfort zone, whether that's go abroad, join some new club that they never thought they could ever join, you know, try a new language, pick an instrument, what have you. It really allows you to develop yourself as a person, which I can guarantee is something that interviewers will be looking for during the pre-medical application process. They want to see that you're a person and that you can relate with patients and that you're not simply, you know, a regurgitation of your CV.
And what did you do that was outside your comfort zone?
Well, for me, it was joining the Concordiensis, which is the official student newspaper of Union College. I mean, I came in as a chemistry major and you know, said, you know, I always wanted to try this, you know, journalism kind of writing thing, and went to my freshman, kind of club fair and just signed up and started writing. And 2 years later, I was editor-in-chief of the publication, and it kind of had very much changed the way that my career has taken shape. So, right. And I really don't owe it all to just, you know, having signed up that one day, you know, 7 years ago.
Wow. Okay. And this actually leads to my next question. You describe yourself on your website as an entrepreneur, a medical student activist, and an aspiring physician journalist, which ties into what you were just talking about. What are the primary ways that you've expressed those aspects of your personality, you know, goals, whatever you want to call them? For example, now you talked about how you got into being a journalist. What is a physician journalist? How are you realizing that part of yourself now? How are you expressing
it? Well, my work within training is primarily how I've been working on you know, journalism. And really, my kind of niche in medicine is using writing, editing, journalism, and advocacy to improve the kind of the face of medical education for our future physicians in training. So, you know, being able to empower students through this online platform I've built to talk about medical education, to talk about their passions, both within and without medicine, and be able to kind of reclaim the medical education space it's kind of my goal and my aspiration with you know, those interests.
Okay. Now we're going to be learning more about in training in a minute, and I'm going to also link to it, but is in training being read by pre-meds and medical students and perhaps residents, or is it being read by hospital administrators, medical school administrators, and kind of, the AMA, the people in charge of medical school education also?
Yeah, it's being read by all, and actually, okay. Although, you know, we are in training an online magazine by medical students and for medical students. Yeah. Pre-meds, residents, and especially hospital and medical school administrators have a lot to learn from the work that we publish on in training. A great example this week on in training is actually our in training mental health week, and we're publishing articles all this week about kind of all written by medical students about the deplorable state of mental health support in medical education. And obviously, it's a great way for medical students to kind of build a community around this idea, but also it's a great way for, you know, hospital and, you know, medical education administrators to say, this is what the current state of medical students, you know, are in our education system, because there's often a gap between those two, you know, at every individual medical school. But being able to read, you know, from the mouth these, you know, perspectives is so important. So I think appeal to a broader audience than just, you know, the medical students.
I noticed one article that you'd written about bullying and bullying of medical students by, I guess, residents, attendings, doctors, whatever, as being part almost of the medical school experience. That can't be too good for people's mental health.
Right. You're talking about my issue of virtual mentor?
I don't remember where I saw it, but I connected to it from your site.
Yeah. So I wrote and I actually curated a issue of Virtual Mentor, now known as the Journal of Ethics of the American Medical Association, on the topic of mistreatment of medical students and how ubiquitous it is in medical education. And really, that's kind of why we started this work within training, is to allow medical students to reflect on those experiences and, you know, become resilient towards them, and also try to make medical students think, you know, when I become a resident, how am I going to treat my students? When I become an attending, how am I going to treat my students? It's really about inducing a paradigm shift in medical education to resolve these issues in the future.
Sounds good. And how about the entrepreneur part of your self-description?
The which part?
Entrepreneur.
Oh, yes. Well, my work with, in training, actually, we just got, I started a company called Pager Publications Incorporated.
What was that again?
Pager Publications Incorporated.
Okay.
It's now a 501c3 non-for-profit literary corporation which supports in training. It also supports In-House, which is our new online magazine for residents and fellows.
Okay.
And it's going to become a company that will support publications that come from within the medical education community. So that's kind of part of that. And also my work with Dr. Smart and MedStro, you know, I help with both those companies kind of in their startup process. That's kind of the entrepreneurship component of what I do.
So All right, so we've dealt with entrepreneur and physician journalist, and we touched upon your role as a medical student activist in terms of, I guess, advocating for medical students. Is that the primary expression of you as a medical student activist, or does it go further?
Yeah, that's certainly a component, but actually I do have a whole other kind of life that I live as a, working actually specifically in political advocacy. I work with Physicians for Human Rights, physicians for a national health program. I actually help, helping with the creation of the student chapter of Physicians for a Health, national health program known as SNAP, Students for a National Health Program. So I do some work also in political advocacy when it comes to health disparities and healthcare reform as well. I've done some work actually in Albany, doing some education of the policymakers at the State House, and I do a lot of work also through social media and online to help raise awareness about those issues.
Okay, great. How on earth do you find time for all this, your studies, and sleep?
That's a good question. And quite honestly, what it comes down to is, and I don't want to say, time management, because, every pre-medicine is like, oh, you got to be good at time management. But really what it comes down to is you have to be smart about your time management. So a great example is last summer when I was studying for Step 1 for 6 weeks, I had no extracurriculars planned at all. I had, divvied out all the responsibilities appropriately. I mean, I purely was studying for the however many hours a day for 6 weeks straight without any, interruption. During first and second year, the weeks before exams were weeks where I had no other obligations. You really have to be able to determine these critical periods throughout your education where you really can't, afford having any other, distractions other than your academic work. And, in those situations, you have to know how to divvy out tasks appropriately to make sure those organizations are still functioning. So I think that's been a key. And having really good teams in training, at all the clubs at my institution, having people who are really understanding about that is a huge component of that as well.
Now, you described briefly In Training as this online magazine, but you're also editor-in-chief, so you have a lot of writers under you, otherwise the in-chief would be kind of a joke. And I think I saw they have 45 people under you or something like that somewhere. Mm-hmm. Are most of these writers medical students? Are they writing about?
Yeah, so my entire staff, so I have, including me and my co-editor-in-chief, we have 44 of the actual editorial board members who are all medical students. And then pretty much all of our writers, except for a few here and there, are all medical students across United States, Canada, and a bunch of other countries, actually, as well. We have a global presence. And what they're writing about is actually when we started In Training, they wrote primarily about reflections of medical school experience. So first time in the cadaver lab, first time seeing a patient, first time seeing a patient die, the experiences of, transitioning from the preclinical to the clinical year. A lot of experiences that are kind of common, despite the fact that medical schools are all over the, world, having these kind of similar common experiences. Over time, these medical student writers have started to progress into talking about politics. A lot of our writers are talking about reform, talking about current events, talking about ethics, talking about literature and art, and even people submitting their own original art and poetry. So we've kind of kept our type of content we publish open, and we are very organic in publishing kind of what is currently happening with the medical student community. We feel that if we want to truly represent the voice of medical students, we have to be willing and open to kind of publishing what is, what is of trend now in with medical students.
How does In Training or MedStro differ from the Student Doctor Network?
That's a great question. So And the reason is actually I discuss this with my staff all the time. So What's interesting about one of the things that we did early on within training is we said that absolutely everyone who contributes in training has to have their name and the name of their institution written on their articles. We didn't publish anything anonymously. And the reason we wanted that is actually to avoid some of the issues that come up with Student Doctor Network, which is kind of this anonymous
nastiness,
commenting, flame wars, and very negativity. We wanted us and our publication to be seen as legitimate, coming from a voice of authority, and, in that way, being a legitimate kind of platform for the medical student voice. So that's one huge thing that differentiates us.
Presumably, if people put their name on something, they have a little bit more pride in it.
Absolutely.
That's should be, at least. So that was one differentiator. What was the other?
Well, the other component as well is that, you know, Student Doctor Network is primarily a forum type of environment. And so, right. you know, it responds to a lot of, you know, questions and that sort of work that, you know, that Student Doctor Network does. We, on the other hand, as a publication, which is completely different from a forum, are more of a place to have, you know, launching off points for discussion. So that's kind of the form of articles. And in that, we also try to train our writers to become better writers, and that's not something that Student Doctor Network is really concerned with. Student Doctor Network is more with, you know, answering questions. We're more with educating students to actually become better advocates and become better writers and be able to better communicate with their peers and with the public.
And what about MedStro? How does it differ from In Training or Student Doctor Network?
So MedStro is unique because it really takes the form kind of as a median, it's kind of between Student Doctor Network and In Training because it kind of is almost like a Facebook format. So there's opportunities to write and publish similar to In Training, but there's also opportunities for threads and discussion forums like Student Doctor Network. It's really trying to compile those two mediums kind of into one single platform.
Okay. Now you mentioned that In Training, I think there's another one called On Call or for residents and fellows?
In-house.
Okay. And are you anticipating having something similar for your members when they start their own practice or they join practices or I don't know what you call it.
Well, that's kind of the 5 to 10 year plan right now is that
okay.
You know, we're looking to create a spectrum. You know, in order to induce this kind of paradigm shift in getting people to really think more about what it means to be a physician, you know, we hope to start out as early as possible with pre-meds and, you know, carry them all the way through medical school and residency and into, you know, their careers. So we're in the process of developing kind of an entire spectrum of publications that will serve each of those communities and allow people to kind of graduate up to the next publication when they, you know, continue on with their careers.
So there could also be a publication aimed at pre-meds then, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we've been, you know, thinking about and, you know, right now we're kind of focusing primarily on these two publications because it's what we know best, but there's certainly an opportunity for that in the future.
And as you move into, I mean, residency is, of course, notoriously time-consuming and demanding. Are you concerned mm-hmm. that when you start your internal medicine residency, you might have trouble juggling all the balls, or are you going to delegate more at that point? Or
absolutely, and it's absolutely something I'm concerned about. And, you know, within training, it's pretty easy because, you know, In Training should always be run by medical students. So we're actually right now in the process of choosing and training two new editors-in-chief who will take over for us once we, you know, matriculate on to residency. So, you know, it's simply a matter of making sure the right staff is in place to do that. But, you know, of course, and, you know, the way that in-house will look versus in-training is obviously very different. In-house is likely not going to be, you know, publishing as often purely because of the time constraints of residents. But, you know, we still think that there's a appreciable amount of work out there that the resident and fellow community is generating to merit, you know, that type of publication.
Sure. Okay. All right. Any last words of advice for pre-meds or for medical students, I guess a little bit behind you in the residency?
Absolutely. You know, my advice for everyone, really, you know, throughout all levels of their education is to really find the niche for yourself. Medicine is an enormous field, not only in terms of specialties and subspecialties and subspecialties, but also in terms of kind of the other work that we do in medicine, advocacy, law, politics, what have you. And really using your opportunities when you get them, especially during your first years of medical school and especially in your pre-med years, to carve out that niche and find out where your strengths lie is really such a blessing because when you start to move into your clinical years and start to think about residency, you know, there will be clearly some experiences that you have that differentiate you and that allow you to kind of fall into a little niche of the giant, you know, community of physicians that will allow you to really have the most fulfilling career.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much. Jay, thanks again so much for joining me today. I really enjoyed talking to you. Where can listeners find your website and just follow the important work that you are doing?
My website, my personal website?
Yeah.
Is majoraj.com, majoraj.com.
Okay, great. And we'll include a link to that website as well as to In Training, MedStro, and I guess the other one was In House. So to in the show notes at infodetective.com/109. Listener, you'll find the show notes at infodetective.com/109, and they will give you the links to AJ's site as well as to In Training and MedStro. And I think I'll also add a link to In House. Check them all out at infodetective.com/109. Now for a quick announcement, we are having a webinar on July 16th called Writing Secondary Essays That Get You Accepted, to be presented by acceptance consultant Alicia McNeese de Moncar. You are invited and can register for free on the site. Again, I'll include a link to the registration page in the show notes at info.acceptance.com/109. Thank you so much for tuning in to this, our 109th episode. If you found this episode helpful, I have a favor to ask. Please share your perspective on iTunes. There's a link in the show notes to our iTunes page where you can leave a review. Doing so helps potential listeners find us and is very much appreciated. And if you have a question you would like to be addressed or just want to comment on the show, please do so in a comment at info.accepted.com/109 or by sending an email to questions@accepted.com. Finally, if you're not yet a subscriber, you can subscribe either through iTunes, Stitcher, or Zoom. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.